What a beautiful song. Amen. I tell you, it's not often you get to come to church and have the opportunity to light one up. Dad joke, I'm sorry. Brother Cliff put me up to, no, he didn't really. He told me another one that I won't tell tonight. Matthew chapter 1, let's get into scripture, all right? Matthew chapter 1, Matthew chapter number 1. I'm glad I'm saved. And I'm glad I'm in church on a Sunday night, Christmas Day, Christmas night. And wow, what a great crowd of people here on a Christmas evening. It's good to see you in God's house tonight. Matthew chapter number 1. Don't you just love this time of year? Amen. There's a lot to enjoy. I understand it's busy. It's tiresome. There's some stress involved. And man, there's a lot that our world gets wrong about this time of year, isn't there? I mean, they just try to do everything to take the attention away from the Lord Jesus Christ. And they try to make it about everything that it's not. And if we're not careful, we'll get sucked into that. We'll get influenced by it. And if we're not careful, it'll cause unnecessary stress and division. And I'm just glad that I belong to a church and know some people that know what it's about. And so tonight, I want to expose one of the biggest lies of Christmas. That got your attention. Some of you just got on pins and needles right now. Don't worry, it's probably not what you think, okay? Matthew chapter 1, let's begin reading in verse number 18. Matthew 1, 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the privilege to be in your house tonight. I ask that you would empty me of myself and fill me with the Holy Ghost. And I pray that your word would go forth and find lodging place in our heart. I pray that Jesus Christ would be exalted in everything said and done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. One of the biggest lies that I believe is told around this time of year is that the first Christmas was a time that was very pleasant, agreeable, smooth sailing, bed of roses. Everything was singing angels, shining stars, no difficulty, and everything was just wonderful. And I believe that sometimes when we see manger scenes and we go to plays and get involved in these things, I believe if we're not careful, we can tell ourselves that this first Christmas was really something that it wasn't. And what I mean by that is just if you just, for just a few minutes, consider the difficulty that Joseph and Mary had to experience on this first Christmas. I'm going to tell you, it was not a bed of roses. Christmas time for them was very difficult. For example, can you imagine being in Joseph's shoes? He's a man. The Bible says that Joseph, in verse number 19, he's a just man. He's a good man. He's righteous. He's trying to do the right thing. He's espoused to Mary. And the espousal period was a period of about 1 year where basically they were already considered husband and wife, but they would remain separate for about a year. There would be no physical interaction between Joseph and Mary to make sure that she was pure. Well, then he gets word that his espoused wife is with child. Can you imagine how Joseph felt? Now, the Bible tells us that she was with child of the Holy Ghost. Joseph didn't know that, and it's probably good that he wasn't told that by Mary. Don't worry, Joseph, it's just, you know, the Holy Ghost baby. So Joseph feels betrayed. And Joseph feels like, man, his dreams are crushed, his plans are ruined, and he's kind of in a predicament here. Because if Joseph stays with Mary, then he looks like that he's the one that's guilty. He's the one that has committed this unclean act with a woman that he is not yet officially wed to. And so the Bible says that he was minded to put her away privately. He wanted to do the right thing, wasn't going to make it public, could have had her stoned. But you can just imagine being in Joseph and Mary's situation. Here they are, expecting a baby. Joseph's probably thinking, what in the world is going on in my life? On top of that, the Bible tells us in Luke chapter number 2 that it's tax time. I mean, can you imagine? You've already got this going on. You're in a predicament. You feel betrayed. You got all these questions, and then you got to go pay your taxes. And so Joseph and Mary make the trek to Bethlehem to pay the taxes, and you know the story. They go, and they can't even find a room. And the Bible says that not that there's no room for him in the inn. The Bible says there was no room for them in the inn. And so this is not just about Jesus didn't have a place to lay his head. This was about Joseph and Mary. Here's Mary. The Bible says when they were traveling to Bethlehem, she's great with child. And you women know what that's like. And so she's getting ready to pop. I mean, she's right here on the brink of delivering a baby boy, having to make this trek to Bethlehem. And then when he's born, they don't even have a place to put him. And they have to wrap him, the Bible says, in swaddling clothes, strips of linen, and they lay him, the Bible says, in a manger. It's a feeding trough. It's in a stable. If you could just imagine just for a minute, if you've been on a farm or if you've been around animals in that atmosphere, it's not very pleasant. The smells aren't pleasant. It's just not a place where you'd want to have a baby. And so everything about this story is not bed of roses. It's not pleasant. It's not agreeable. It's a very difficult thing. It's a very difficult time. But here's the thing. God did this. God orchestrated it this way. Five times in Matthew chapter 1 and Matthew chapter number 2, you find a phrase that's similar to this, that it might be fulfilled, that the prophecy might be fulfilled, that the scripture might be fulfilled. So God wants us to know, I orchestrated this. God's the one that's responsible for putting Joseph and Mary in this very difficult situation. And I thought about us. You know what? Sometimes Christmas and life in general, it's just not all a bed of roses. Sometimes it's not all pleasant. Sometimes it's not all easy. Sometimes it's not very agreeable. And listen, I don't know every individual here tonight, but I would venture to say there's probably somebody here tonight, you're probably in a similar situation to Joseph, and you're like, I don't know what in the world's going on in my life right now. I don't understand why this is this way, why my family's a wreck, why my finances are a wreck, why my physical conditions are a wreck. Listen, I'm miserable, if I'm honest with you. I'm here tonight. I'm putting on my fake smile. I'm telling everybody Merry Christmas. I'm going to shine the candle. But inside, you're hurting. And Christmas can be a very difficult time. Can I tell you tonight, God is the one that put you here tonight. God is the one that orchestrated the affairs in your life to have you sitting in a candlelight service on Christmas Day here in Fellowship Baptist Church tonight. God wants you here. There's something He wants to do in your life. Can I tell you, it's often God's way to do this. You see, Mary and Joseph had to experience this difficulty before they could experience the blessing of Christmas. And I just got to remind you, that's often God's way. Way back in the very beginning, there was an evening before there was a morning. Before the children of Israel ever experienced deliverance, they experienced bondage. They were there for 400 years. They experienced 70 years of captivity before they were able to return back to the homeland of Jerusalem. Before Jesus ever resurrected from the dead, there was a crucifixion. And can I tell you, but listen, but before there's conversion, there's conviction. And the Bible says, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. So I don't know where you're at tonight. You may be here and you say, you know what, man, there's an emptiness. There's a void in my heart. There's something that's just not quite right in my life. I don't know what's going on. God does. God's got you here. And God may be trying to get you to the place in your life where you would realize that He's the answer. Maybe you're here and you say, you know what, Brother Brandon, I'm saved. But there's just some things going on that, to be honest with you, it's just not pleasant. I'm here, but I don't know what to do. And I just want to simply, I want to give you two things, and I'll be done. Number one, there's something I want you to know, and it's this. You're not alone. simple. That's the message of Christmas. Matthew chapter number 1, I read verse 18 through 21. Skip with me to verse 22 and 23. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Joseph, you're not alone. Mary, I know it's difficult, but you're not alone. Church, tonight, I don't know where you are, but here's what I do know. You're not alone. There's a God in heaven loves you. There's a God in heaven that knows your uprising. There's a God in heaven that knows what's going on. He orchestrated the affairs of your life, and you're not alone tonight. Amen. That's what you need to know. Number two, something you need to do. You need trust and obey. Three times in this text, that's what you find Joseph doing. It's very interesting to me. He has no clue the details. Come on, he doesn't have some kind of inside intel to what God's overall big picture plan is. He just knows when God tells me to do something, that's what I'm going to do. And so an angel comes to him here in chapter number 1, verse number 20. An angel comes and says, Joseph, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife. And the Bible says, verse 24, then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife. Not to mention all of this, in Matthew chapter number 2, King Herod. You remember what's going on? Pastor mentioned it this morning. Slaughtered the babies. And the angel of the Lord comes to Joseph and he says, I want you to pack up everything and head down to Egypt. And that's not the first place that a Jew wants to go. But God says, I want you to go to Egypt. And so guess what Joseph does? Look, if you will, chapter number 2, verse number 14. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed in Egypt. God, if that's what you want me to do, that's what I'll do. And when it was time for him to come back, guess what? The angel comes back, and let's skip again. Look, if you will, at verse number 21. He arose, took the young child and his mother, and came into the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus did reign in Judea in the room of his father Herod, he was afraid to go thither. Notwithstanding, being warned of God in a dream, he turned aside into the parts of Galilee, and he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, he shall be called a Nazarene. You say, Brother Brandon, it's a very difficult time in my life. You need to know you're not alone. And number two, you need to trust and obey. You need trust and obey. And tonight, just simply, you don't need to know the details to trust the designer. You don't need to have the details to trust the designer. Trust God. I promise you, He has your best interest in mind. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this promise, Lord, that you will never leave us nor forsake us. Thank you for the promise of Emmanuel, God with us. We thank you that you will never leave us nor forsake us. I pray that you would take your word, use it to minister to every need tonight. God, I ask in Jesus' name, amen.